Thanks for joining us. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Very recently, the government has announced a very interesting plan when it comes to the Subang Airport revitalization. Subang Airport will undergo a major transformation to turn it into a premium city airport and aviation hub under the new Subang Airport Rejuvenation Plan, as announced by the Minister of Transport, Anthony Loke. The Subang Airport Rejuvenation Plan will focus on seven major components, which includes the introduction of commercial jet passenger airlines, as well as for general aviation, business aviation, urban air mobility and regional commercial flight operations. However, this announcement does attract some form of criticism from various sectors. But of course, here to unpack all of this is Mohsin Aziz, the director of Pangolin Aviation Fund. Mohsin, let's take a look into the whole idea of Subang Airport, where it was and how it was behaving before we jump into the Subang revitalization plan in depth.
Well, Subang was the gateway for Kuala Lumpur International Airport back then, but that was all stopped in 1998 when we had the KLIA. So all the operations was migrated towards KLIA because you want to pull all the volumes there. But nonetheless, it was still there. There was some commercial services. And then along 2006, Malaysia Airlines started this new concept, Firefly, whereby they use propeller planes and go somewhere regional, some mostly domestic flights. And then later, that was the queue of Subang Airport, basically. It was a second airport, didn't really have much services apart from that Firefly and Malindo that I mentioned, and maybe a host of those private and cargo flights.
Then why is it still left to be operational, considering that all the transportation requirements must be done out of KLIA? At least this was the thinking before.
Well, thing is, Subang is a wonderful asset. It's a huge airport with a long runway, 3.6 kilometers, considered Category A, can bring almost all the big aircrafts around there. So not for the country not to use it is kind of silly, because you have a gem of an asset, a Rolls Royce, but you're not using. What's the point?
That's my point. Why wasn't it not used? I was thinking then. I'm pretty sure the premier at that time was Tun Mahathir.
Well, it was initially Mahathir up till 2003. Then it was Tun Ahmad Badawi, and then subsequently Najib. But the thing is, at that point of time, the idea was to spool up volume as quickly as possible at KLIA. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, things have changed. Up till 2019, KLIA carried 62 million passengers, which is the 21st ranking, the 21st busiest airport around the world. It surpasses Madrid, it surpasses JFK even. So when you reach that point, you have to start thinking, maybe it's time I have a second airport, and Subang has always been there. Now's the time to revitalize and create it as a second airport.
All right, one of the bigger conversations, of course, whether or not we do have too many airports to begin with, at least in this region, not necessarily Malaysia, thinking ASEAN, Singapore, Changi, and of course, Suvarnabhumi in Bangkok. Those are two big gateways for this region. And now we're creating a third one in KLIA. Do you feel that the clientele is going to be different in terms of how we service our aviation customers?
On the contrary, no. I think three airport is actually a good number. We should have this number, because let's think about this. KL, Greater KL, has a population of about 8 million people. London is also a cosmopolitan that has around 8 million people. They've got about 5 airports. And here's the thing, you have to think of it from a view of safety, comfortness and ease of usage. Because let's just say something happens at KLIA. I don't know, earthquake, malfunction of system, sabotage. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but you know, as a premier, you have to think of all conceivable consequences. If something happens in KLIA, you need a backup. Subang is the only backup, because the nearest big airport would be Penang or Langkawi, Johor, which is miles away. So that's why, from a view of security, this is a requirement for a country, for a city that has 8 million people, taking about 60, 70 million passengers per year. You need security.
Is that what's happening with Don Mueang and Suvarnabhumi?
Well, they've gone that stage far longer because they've surpassed that 50, 60 million passengers per year. And of course...
How does Changi manage this single risk profile?
Well, the thing is, Changi has a second airport called Seletar, but it cannot do much.
Yeah.
But they tap into Johor and also KLIA as their main backup airport. Mm. So if something were to happen in Changi, a lot of emergency flights will be landing in Senai and KLIA. Mm. So we've been very nice to them.
Yeah, all right. That's always been a situation, sibling rivalry that goes on far longer than that. All right, let's talk about the criticism right now. One of them is, of course, pollution, traffic jams, noise, everything. When it comes to AirAsia, for instance, making their move into Subang Airport, we're looking at some property developers that might inherently benefit from this deal. There's so many criticism. I don't know where to begin, Mohsin.
Well, you know, there's never a situation where everybody's happy. But we have to look at the gist of the matter. This is a transportation asset for the whole rakyat. Not for just the person who lives nearby the airport, namely Subang, Subang Jaya, Shah Alam. Yes, there will be noise, there will be disturbances having an active airport around your backyard. But let's remember, the airport was there first before Subang Jaya developed. The airport was there first before Shah Alam was built. So you have to be honest with that respect, right? You move there fully knowing it's an airport. Now it's going to be a fully functional airport again. You can't really... That argument is lost. Mm. And then think of the benefit for the rakyat. You have an airport that's closer to the city, very beneficial for people who live on the west side of KL Klang Valley. And of course, like I mentioned just now, better security for KL and the country as a whole. So looking at totality, right, you have to look at the big picture from an economic point of view, from a security point of view, from an ease of a comfort for people point of view. It trumps all the criticism.
But even like major airports like the Kai Tak Airport, the old airport in Hong Kong, and Heathrow Terminal 4, in fact, Mayor Sadiq Khan warned based on the notion that he's going to oppose, say, for instance, the T4 in Heathrow. These considerations that is coming from the community, yes, one airport is there before the community's moved in, but now the community is there. Should we now think about the redevelopment of the airport in contrast of the requirements of the community?
Well, you see, certain things Malaysia and Asian airlines do better than Europe and America. One of them is our fleet. Our aircraft are very young. They consist of almost all the most modern aircraft money can buy right now. So their noise footprint and their pollution footprint is actually very low on a greater scheme of things. And also there are things that Malaysia can adopt to mitigate this pollution and also noise disturbances. I mean, for example, if you talk about London, there's a perfect airport that I can put into mention. It's called the City Airport.
Yeah.
It's just 2 kilometres off the central financial district, right in the heart of a suburb, London.
Yeah.
Zone 2 even.
Yeah.
Yet, aircraft land and take off every day there. But, you know, the country is very progressive and they do things to mitigate the situation. I mean, the aircraft are forced to land and take off in a very steep manner. Steeper than normal practice in other airports.
Yeah.
That reduces the noise footprint on the ground.
Yeah.
And also, they are very functional in the sense of the first flight is only at 8:30 a.m. and the last flight is 10 a.m. Mm. On Sunday, they are closed. There's hardly any services on Sunday because it's
so
a church day.
The moral of the story is that if you really want to make it work, you can make it work, is what we're trying to say.
Exactly, right.
All right, let's look at the players right now in the Sultan Abdul Aziz Shah Airport, the Subang Airport right now. SKS Airways, Firefly, Batik Air Malaysia are the commercial turboprop services that's currently operating out of there. Cargo Airlines, Raya Airlines is the only one that's operating out of T2, Terminal 2 of Subang Airport. What's the situation like moving forward? Are we going to see all the other players coming in? Not just Firefly, but Malaysia Airlines, jet engine flights, AirAsia, so to speak, and of course all the other regional airlines as well, including that of, say, Batik Air and of, what do you call this? Not just Batik Air, but Scoot of Singapore Airlines.
Singapore Airlines, yeah. This is a question mark that's not answered till today because there's no clarity from the government or even the regulator that's in charge of this MEFCOM, saying whether it's a free for all, whoever has a license can land. But there was some market murmurs on the paper saying only those who are operating out of Subang right now will be given the license to migrate into a jet operation. So that means Firefly, Malindo, and also SKS Airways. We'll have to wait and see. From a personal view, I believe it should be free for all, because when there's competition, ultimately the users or the rakyat benefits the most. So why should we not do that?
All right. I still want to... There's so much things to unpack, all right? We look at the recent announcement of the rebranding of the KLIA and KLIA 2 into KLIA Terminal 1 and Terminal 2. We're looking at the urgency of the redevelopment of the Subang Airport, because it's not just developing the airport, it's of course redeveloping the areas around it as well, perhaps even 10 to 20 kilometers out of that airport. We're also looking into the country needing more resources to build our aviation services. So there's a lot that needs to be done, and it seems like Anthony Look is hitting the right notions, but is he on the right path? What kind of work are we going to expect for these redevelopments to be done? In fact, let's start with a quick one. What's the point of rebranding Terminal 1, Terminal 2, KLIA?
Confusion, to avoid confusion. Even, you know, a lot of people are familiar flying all around the world, and they're very used to Terminal 1, 2. And this KLIA 2, it's like confusing.
Why do it in the first place? Things like this is, you know, why reinvent the wheel? It's been Terminal 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 now at Heathrow.
I blame youthful exuberance wanting to be hip-hop.
Okay.
They learned
their
lessons.
Even the KLIA 2 branding was small caps KLIA 2. I just know.
Somebody in Malaysia airports back then think it was hip-hop. But, you know, we all make mistakes. We learn from it.
Okay.
I give them credit. Okay. They're admitting the mistake and they're going back to industry norms. Kudos to them.
All right. The new system enables foreigners from 7 countries to scan their passports into a machine. This is passport recognition. And the machine will scan the facial biometrics that allow a person to go through. This is a fully automated and does not require immigration officer to see the passport to be stamped. These are the kind of software developments that is allowing for better passenger travel. Will we see these kind of rollouts in our airports?
It's already started 1st of February at KLIA.
Okay.
And then they're going to roll it out to all the international airports eventually. I think this is a good development. The technology is there. In fact, Malaysians, we've been using AutoGate for 20 years. It works.
Yep.
So we know it works. Now we're just going to expand it to 7 countries. So this should reduce the traffic, the queuing. It'll make the whole place more stress-free.
Okay, the 7 countries that you can speak of is Singapore, Brunei, New Zealand, Australia, UK, US, and Saudi.
Correct.
And of course, does Malaysia look at getting the same benefit of going into these countries, especially Singapore, where a lot of us go there?
Right now, Singapore and Brunei is already reciprocal, done. The other countries, I heard the major airport entries, yes, they've already ratified and accepted Malaysia airports. But the smaller airports will probably be work in progress. So progressively, we will get this benefit too.
Right. You see, when we look at these poor planning of, you know, from rebranding to installation of software and the upgrading of the AutoGate and many more, now rebranding of Sultan Abdulaziz Shah Airport or Subang Airport, all this requires money. Especially when it comes to, you know, the physical signages, for instance, the requirements for us to notify, say, IATA. All these requirements, you know, if better planning was done previously, we don't have to do all these things again now.
Yes.
Now, on top of all these restructuring, both physical and non-physical, we're also looking at the entire rejuvenation and rebuilding work within the areas of, say, for instance, Subang and Greater Subang area. All this requires urban planning and requires a lot of stakeholders to be bought in. How do you think the government, particularly the Transport Ministry, is going to get all these buy-ins from all these stakeholders? Surely this is a gargantuan task to achieve.
Yeah, that's the key problem that you just mentioned. There's a lot of parties involved.
So are you saying that MEFCOM is one of them?
Let's just say all of them. All of them are guilty with this point of view that I'm in charge, everybody got to listen to me.
Mm.
But unfortunately, with that kind of attitude, nothing gets done.
Mm.
You just go into the table, discuss, and then 2-3 years down the road, you have a new KSU or you have a new guys in charge. And then further talks, and
But this is part and parcel of running a government. Honestly, we want to wait for the ideal situation to materialize. This is not realistic, so to speak.
I don't agree, because that's what a blueprint is. Blueprint is by far bipartisan. No matter which guy becomes the PM, a good one, already, a joker, yeah, or a lousy one, but the blueprint prevails and carries on. Mm. But that's not been how we have seen our aviation industry for the past decade or two.
Okay. And now, moving forward, what do you see or what do you anticipate?
Well, if this, whatever that's been mentioned by our transport minister, I mean, honestly, it's actually from the industry experts, presented to him, he buys in and he makes it public. Mm. By virtue of him making it public, raises expectation and people would want this. You know, you're also having a fair share of criticism, but all of them will be addressed as we go on. So I think this is a positive step. Just as long that everybody keeps the momentum and everybody is on the same page that Subang is indeed a wonderful asset that needs to be harnessed. Mm. Subang is indeed an opportunity for us to de-risk from KLIA and, you know, an ability to reduce congestion at KLIA and reduce traffic congestion at KLIA and make things easier for everybody, it should progress.
Okay, let's talk about the realities of things. Terminal 1 KLIA does not seem to have that kind of traffic, at least from a passenger point of view. However, Terminal 2 KLIA, or KLIA 2 previously known, as it was previously known, faces extreme
congestion. Let's call it Terminal 1 and 2.
Terminal 1 and 2. Let's do that. Let's do the wish that all of us want. But honestly, do you feel that that Terminal 2 congestion is going to be really, really bad right now?
Well, they still have enough capacity relative to the terminal size. I think the only issue that AirAsia is facing right now is lack of aircraft, lack of manpower, and also some capex to get them back to the level of efficiency before pre-pandemic. Honestly, I think it's just a matter of time before they get it done. I mean, they've got the right people and the right mindset. So it's just a matter of time. I think we just have to be a little bit patient and we'll be as efficient as it was prior to the pandemic.
Okay, we'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with Mohsin Aziz of Pangolin Aviation Fund. Thanks for continuing on with us. I have with me Mohsin Aziz of Pangolin Aviation Fund. Mohsin, let's talk a little bit more about the Subang Airport Rejuvenation Plan per se. What is inside the plan? Have you read it?
Well, I've seen a presentation a few years ago, assuming it hasn't changed. It entails the expansion of Sky Park and also a possible second terminal. I mean, right next to Sky Park was where the second terminal of the good old days of Subang and that particular terminal serves Kuala Lumpur to Singapore. Mm. It's very old. I don't think they can, modify. Yeah, salvage. It's not worth it. Mm. I think...
You're talking about Terminal 1 or Terminal 2 of Subang?
Two. Okay. So I think it's probably going to be demolished and then something new, modern, that can fit the requirements of today will be built.
Right now, Terminal 2 is currently servicing the Raya Airways cargo airline. This is the other airline operating non-passenger, non-turboprop carrier.
That's right. So ideally, Terminal 3 is the bigger space, but it's been fully taken up by MRO guys,
yes,
Airbus and Aerocopters. So I don't think they can be pushed out anyway. So realistically, it's only T2 that can be, let's just say, redeveloped.
What's happening with T1?
T1 is where Sky Park is.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Right, let's talk a little bit more about the kind of players that is anticipated to come in. There was a big talk in terms of a tycoon that was facing a lot of opposition. Mm. This was just 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Is this character still in the picture?
As far as I'm aware, no. We'll probably get better clarity 2 months from now because that's the so-called time period that the minister has told Malaysia Airports to come out with a plan and explanation.
Okay.
But I think if you give it to Malaysia Airports, their focus will be very aero-centric. So they will build terminals, they will build facilities that attract aviation companies? The one that the previous character you mentioned, he's thinking more of property development, golf course, houses, commercial areas. That's not what Malaysia Airport does. So okay. It'll be very aero city centric.
Sorry, I just got to dial back. You want to build airports, you give the airport guy, right, to do it, or lady? No?
Precisely, right? It's a no-brainer, but you know, funny things happen from time to time.
Yeah, lah, like the KLIA2 branding. Let's talk a bit more about MAAHB. We've had the Malaysia Airports over on the show specifically a few times already. There's a lot of the progress and development that is going to take place at Sepang, which is rightfully so, their mandate. Do you feel that they have the wherewithal and, of course, the leadership to pull off whatever that is needed from this Subang Airport rejuvenation plan?
It's hard to say because...
Okay, so that's not a yes. Got it. Done. That's not a vote of confidence, was it?
Well, you see, you want to be optimistic, but when you look at a person's track record, there's not much from Malaysia Airports. They don't really have much to show for, except for KLIA2, should be Terminal 2, by the way.
Yeah.
And everything else is just small expansion of existing facility.
So who needs to do this SARP?
I mean, Malaysia Airport can easily JV with foreign airports that have achieved success in building an aero city. The best example would be Schiphol of Amsterdam. Yeah. They have a full functional airport city within Schiphol.
Yeah.
And it's very successful. So that can be an opportunity that they venture as well, you know, partner up with JVs from
as far as you know, are they thinking about this?
I'm not sure because I've not met them for a while.
Yeah.
But it's basically one of a very functional way to do things. Mm.
Okay, we don't have much time left, but just to round up the conversation, in your opinion, do you feel that the Subang Airport Rejuvenation Plan is a good idea? Do you feel that this is something that is needed for the country to boost not just our aviation, but perhaps our commercial areas within the aviation sector? And what we can think about in the area per se in Subang? And of course, would this cannibalize the KLIA Terminal 1 and Terminal 2 businesses?
Well, there's a lot of questions. I'll try my best. First of all, it's a fantastic idea. Subang is a gem. You should have done this 10 years ago. And then two, it's an opportunity for us to outdo our rivals, namely Singapore, and putting a name. They only have one airport and they will only have one airport forever and ever.
Yeah, but hang on, Changi is the best airport I've been to. I will state my, you know, and I'm a Johorian, so I don't like saying it, but it is what it is.
Well, here's an opportunity for us to reduce the gap. And maybe in another generation or so, we can actually supersede. But, you know, we've got to start somewhere. Mm. We play to our strength. Mm. We've got these two functional, high-quality airports. Let's use them. Mm. So that's my view on things. Mm-hmm. Then with regards to cannibalization of Subang, Terminal 1-2, I don't think this is a concern because KLIA has already got 60 million passengers before the COVID. Mm. And I believe they will reach that number again. Mm. Once you reach that status, you should think about upscaling and increasing your charges. You know, try to get better quality customers, let them pay more. So you should get out of this volume thinking and get into this high value, high price thinking. Mm. So they can do that now, you know. Either they make Subang as the premium airport and the mass market goes to KLIA. So what I'm trying to say is it's two types of different market. So it's not going to be cannibalization, provided they play their games right, they price right, and they do the product offering right.
The way I look at it is that the orchestrator or coordinator has to be really, really on the ball in this. And if you don't have the quarterback to pull off this particular, I don't know what to call this,
big picture
orchestra,
person.
Yeah, to the conductor to put together this orchestra, it might not be going according to plan. There's a lot of risk there.
We have one chance, and we better do it right, because if you get it right the first time, your future will be so much easier. Hmm. If you do it wrong the first time...
Macam ni lah jadi.
Yalah, KLIA2 and all that stuff. All this can be avoided. So that's why everybody just have to honestly sit down and think about progress and not think about rivalry between airline A and airline B, or airline A versus a regulator that they don't like or like.
It's actually AA, but yeah, go on.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, I
but did. Thing is, everybody has to have this mindset. We have one chance. It's a golden opportunity. Let's get it right the first time.
Do you feel that Anthony Loke is the guy to do it?
I think so, because Anthony Loke, I mean, there's good things about him, but certain things, seems like he's a man in a great hurry. He wants to do everything once. So, in that sense, he's putting his neck on the line too, you know?
Yeah.
Because if you try to do 10 things once, you're bound to fail quite a few.
Yeah.
But he's already put his neck on the block.
Yeah.
And every person in the industry should say, okay, he's different. He's not a typical politician. He dares to take the risk. So, he's our best opportunity. Let's get it done correctly this time.
Fantastic. That was our conversation with Mohsin Aziz of Pangolin Aviation Fund. If you want to learn more about the Subang Airport Rejuvenation Plan, head on to astroawani.com. There are plenty of resources that can be found there. Subang Airport Rejuvenation Plan has been announced by the Transport Minister Anthony Loke a few weeks ago. And of course, we're looking at further developments that is going to take place over the weeks to come. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one.